Rabbeinu Yoino, in Perek Gimel Mishlei, Pasuk Chof Vav in the middle, he says, Inin HaBitochon Asher Zacharnu, Mefurish Bakosif, Shenemer Bitchu Ba'Hashem Adiyad, Ki Yizboruch Yitzur Oilam Azev Oilam Abo. Va'akol B'yodoy Lechein Bitchu Bo'yi Ki Chol Yochol. He brings down the Pasuk of Bitchu Ba'Hashem Adiyad. He actually, some of the gears that they have, the rest of the Hemshech, Ki Bekoh Hashem Tzur Oilamim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Chazal Darshin, that Oilam Hazeh was created with a Hey, and Oilam Abo was created with a Yud. Ki Bekoh Hashem Tzur Oilamim. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both of the worlds, and therefore, B'Vitech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? What he said earlier, he taught last month, that even if a person, Rachman Al-Tlan, suffers, or has something which is he looks at as is bad in this world, it could very well be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving up for the next world or paying it back in this world so they should have his schar shalim in the next world. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the bury of both of the Olamos, Tzai Olam Hazeh and Tzai Olam Haba, so therefore you should be taken HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's not two different Olamos. It's all one, it is two different Olamos, it's all one Burei who's in charge of both of the Olamos. And therefore, the fact that a person suffers in this world is not disconnected from the next world. Because the Shbroch was Burei of both Olamos, and therefore, even if a person doesn't see a reason why he's suffering in this world, it's L'Tevasai, because it'll help him in the next world. That's Kibaka Hashem, Tzor Olamos. B'Reiteach and the Shbroch, because it's not just this world that he's in charge of, it's the next world as well. V'amru Chazal, v'dalef nemiyat ha'oimid, v'nemenu v'amalach t'cho sh'ishalem v'aschar po v'asecho. Chazal say in Perkei Oves, know who you're working for, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam that he's going to pay you back for your good work. Firish hizkiru bekan shnei inyanim. Chazal were mazkir two inyanim that he mentioned earlier, and that is, he said, Aderech Moshel, he says, ki inyan habitachon k'shiyak, you're working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're b'teichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you know that he has the ability, and that he is the bearer of the Olamos, and he has the ability to give you schar in this world, and that he will give you schar, and you could rely on him. That somebody works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's guaranteed schar. All the psukim over there in Yeshayah discuss that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator of the world, and that the world is like sits in the palm of his hand, kilu. So the first nekuda of the bitachon that he's bringing down over here, in the bitachon shezacharnu, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't disconnect this world from the next world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both of the worlds together, and therefore they're totally connected. And if it's a person has something in this world which is not to his liking, lav dafka does that mean that, it could very well be that which is getting paid in this world is to save him for the next world. It's all connected together. And Bimaka, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the bury of both Olamos. And then he continues and he says, "Umeinin abitochan shezachanu shel yiftach ba'adam, v'yeda be'emes ki ein biyar abasav adam lehitiv loyu latzilu zolasim yigzar Hashem yizbarach." A chilek of bitochan is not to be boitech in a person. Al tiftuchu b'nidim ven adam shenet shuvo. V'yeda be'emes ki ein biyar abasav adam lehitiv loyu latzilu zolasim yigzar Hashem yizbarach. A person should be clear to a person that no one can do anything bad to him if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't grazing. Don't be boiteach in a person, because the person is just a stick in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what we saw in the Beit HaLevi that he says brought down from this pasuk, that I'm not scared of any human being, Hashem li lo yira, because be'etzem if I'm boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no one can do anything bad to me. Anything that happens from a person is just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu so willed it. But it's not that a person has the ability to do anything bad to somebody else. Somebody told me this week that he went to the father of Shimon Matalon. Shimon Matalon was one of the 45 people that was killed in Meron a year and a half ago, on Lag BaOmer. He actually lived in Beitar, not far from where I live. Kitzer, he went to, this Avreich told me, that he went to the father of Shimon Matalon And he asked him recently, just asked him, I think it was last week, that I need some chizik. He's going through something, can you give me some chizik? So he says, sure. So he says that his son, Shimon, was a Rebbe, but he also worked with Noar and Asher. He worked with kids going off the derech. And he helped them out, and he talked to them, and he, well known, I think one of the paper that is well known for him, what he wrote on before Shabbos, and he told the person to only open it after Shabbos. Before he went to Meron, he pieced the paper, and he told him only to open it after, on Sunday. And he died in between. But that was like his, I think it was to one of these type of kids. Or the kid in his class, not 100% sure, but he had to do with a lot of kids going off. And at one point, Kinira, one of the boys felt that he had wronged him. I don't know exactly what he did, and he was going to get it back at him. So he opened up a tick in the Mishnah. He opened up a file in the police department against him. The kids of the police call him up, and they say, please come down for questioning. Come down for questioning? What are you talking about? I've only helped this guy out. I haven't done anything to this guy. And so if you don't come down for questioning, then we're coming to your house and taking you in handcuffs down to the police department. So it's not a joke. Okay, so he comes down, and they take his fingerprints, and they put it into the file, and mechulu. And he was so, it bothered him so much. Here's what I'm doing. Mashalim ro tachas teva, mamish. All I'm doing is trying to help them out. All I'm trying to do, I'm giving up myself, I'm giving my time, I'm giving my koyach, I'm giving my effort, my money, everything I'm giving to help these people. And this is what you do, you pay me back, is that you open up a file against me, and not only that, now I'm the criminal. Anytime that somebody breaks into a store, so now they go to look through all the fingerprints, oh, who is it? Maybe it's this guy, maybe it's this guy. It's like the regular person. It bothered him so much. Because he said that the father is speaking, he said that he works in the Chevra Kedisha, the father works in the Chevra Kedisha. It was a topic of discussion. Death was always a table topic of discussion. And there's a beginning, the Indian of being buried, Chazal Tei Bechlal, somebody that's nifter in Erev Shabbos is a big Indian, but to be buried also in Erev Shabbos. And his son Shimon said that he very much wants to be, when his time comes, he very much wants to be buried in Erev Shabbos. Because as we know, he was killed Thursday night. He died Thursday night in Meron. And there was a big issue because they weren't able to identify all the bodies, and they weren't letting them out. Kitzer, most of the people had some sort of wallet identification, something on them. Shimon Matalon had nothing on him. Zero. Ephes. No identification papers, no ID at all. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do, how they can get him out, and they want to bury him, especially on Erev Shabbos, something that he so much wanted. So the father has a relative who's a Katsin Mishnara. He's in the hierarchy in the police department, and he says, maybe you could help us get him out. Maybe something, do you know some way to help? Say, you're up there, you're in the police, maybe. Okay, so what could he do already? He goes to the computer, puts in his name, and sure enough, comes up a file with his fingerprints. They took his fingerprints of that person, and they matched it up, and he was one of the only people that was buried on Friday. The father's telling this younger man, who was telling me the story afterwards, he says, imagine 2 years ago, right, that he would know that these fingerprints were what is going to allow him to be buried on Erev Shabbos. He'd be jumping for joy when they took his fingerprints. He'd be jumping for joy. The very thing that was such a source of anguish to him, mamish, the fingerprints, that now he's the criminal that everybody's chasing, mamish, the very thing that is the source of anguish, that was the thing that was the biggest teva. That was the thing that helped him. He never saw it. He was ready after he was nifter. But we were able to see it. We were able to see that this is the thing that mamash helped him out. So this is exactly what the Beis Halevi had said from this pasuk. That very often he said it by Yosef HaTzadik, that getting thrown into jail and whatever it was, the thing that he thought was against him was the biggest source of anguish, and the biggest source of suffering that he had. At the very end, it was what caused him to get out. He said about when he got to Pari, Pari tried to trick him in the dream, and from what he tried to trick him, says the Beis Halevi, he was able to figure out the Pisrei, the interpretation of the dream. But that's really this he said. We don't really see it, and Shimon never didn't see it. He wasn't zeichet to see it while he was alive. He wasn't zeichet to see it. But and it happened 2 years beforehand. Sometimes you're able to see it right away. The first nekuda is to look for it. That's the first nekuda. The first nekuda is to look for the. We mentioned this on Thursday. Especially during Elul, to look for the Hashgacha Pratis. Very often you'll see it if you look for it. I had a very much smaller, very, very small story, but it was just so interesting to see it. It happened to me a week and a half ago. We made Sheva Brachis. I get a phone call Thursday morning, a week and a half ago on Thursday, and I get a phone call from my wife. There's Arabs outside. There's Arabs outside, and they're cutting through the sheetrock that's right next to our front door. What's going on? Okay, so somebody, a neighbor is building, and the Arabs are deciding to run wires, maybe without getting permission, run wires to wherever they want. So they just started cutting out the sheetrock, and there's rocks falling down, and we're making a shavrachat there the next night, that night. And what are these Arabs doing without asking permission? What's going on? And they have to do it on a bunch of floors. They run it from one floor, the bottom floor, to a few floors up. So they went through the cabinets that have everybody's sukkah boards that are stuck there. They took out all the sukkah boards and all the from everything from there. They didn't bother putting them back. They just took it out and left it out. And the kids are, what's going on over here? What is this business? Don't ask any of your shoes. Don't have any permission. You don't have any. There's rocks falling down. We're making sure we're broke. You're just taking all that stuff out, all the sukkah boards, all everything. And a few hours later, it's 5 o'clock. We made a brachas outside in our gina, in our chatzer, and the wind was just crazy. We were setting up. It was called for 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, we're setting up, and the chatzer kal actually came on time, and the wind is just blowing everything off the tables, plates, forks, everything is just flying off the table. Crazy wind. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? The chosen kal are here. The parents are here. We're supposed to start the brachas. What are we going to do? The only thing that we thought to do, we have a gate around the entire gina. We'll take sukkah boards. We need 10, 15 sukkah boards, and we'll just put them up. We'll tie them, zip tie them to the gate. You know what it is to get the sukkah boards out? If you go downstairs to where those cabinets are, there's people have their beds there, and the people have suitcases, and people have washing machines, and people have, and everything is, you can't get to the clock, can't get to it. What are you going to do? I go downstairs, and sure enough, all my sukkah boards are out. The Arabs took them out that morning. They're all sitting there, lined up against the wall. 5 hours earlier, I was sitting there cursing them out. What are they going ahead and touching things that are not theirs? And right then, afterwards, the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, look at this, look what I did for you. I took them all out, they're right here. We didn't have any time to be able to start moving all the suitcases and people's chas and people's everything to be able to get them. We were taking us who knows how long. It was all sitting there, lined up, we were able to put it there, 15 minutes, we had them all up, and that's it, Baruch Hashem, everything worked out. So, if we wouldn't have put two together, so then the Arabs, they should be cursed. But they, you look at it as like, what's going on over here? What's, Mitzachini, very often that was the Kaddish Baruch Hu gave us a little kiss, you have to see it so close by. But it's all that way. I'm just giving it as a mushroom, because everything is that way. And even the things that it look like there, something which is, it could be on a tremendous level, like he's a criminal, and at the end of the day, after he died, he was able to be buried that day because of it. That's a tremendous thing, and it's after a few years, and he was in Zecha. Or it could be the small things. That's the chelak of the bitachin, is to be makir that it's no person can do anything that's wrong to you. And if it looks like it, it's Kaddish Baruch Hu is doing the tevascha. The tevascha is sometimes boilam haza, and sometimes the tevascha is boilam haba. But it's always the tevascha from the Bnei Shalom. We just have to get that. That it's.